Havoc Farm Pork is based in the Hunter Hills area of South Canterbury. The outdoor pig farm is run by Ian Jackson and Linda McCullum Jackson, who also own a large butchery in Dunedin's Kaikarai Valley, where the meat is processed and packaged. Their business started with a stall at the Otago Farmers Market in 2003. Back then, they only had one pig's worth of products on offer. But 18 years on, their tasty pork is in supermarkets, cafes and restaurants around the country and sells via the Gourmet Direct website. Cosmo visited the Havoc farm recently and over a cup of tea, he asked Ian, otherwise known as Lord Havoc, what it's like being a free-range pig farmer.
It depends on the weather. Sometimes too cold, sometimes too windy, sometimes too wet, sometimes too hot. Other days just perfect and you just don't believe how lucky you are.
You've got pig farming in the blood, haven't you?
Yeah, well, my father, he had a small pig and poultry farm in the UK. I didn't like the way the chickens were kept in cages, but I always thought the pigs were fascinating animals to sort of work with.
Linda, where were you before you moved to South Canterbury?
I was originally from Auckland. I was born in Auckland, lived all my life in Auckland. Then I met a pig farmer. We decided we were too old to muck around. And first of all, I was going to commute. That didn't work. Gradually I started, you go away and you write down your occupation, and I'd put HR consultant, and then I'd go HR consultant pig farmer, and then I'd go pig farmer HR consultant, and then I gave up and went pig farmer. And so that's what we do, we farm pigs.
Ian, when you bought the land here, did you already have any pigs?
Yeah, I had a smaller bit of land close to Waimate, and moved my pigs. Yeah, the original idea was to build a few pig huts, buy a few pigs and sell weaners. But weaner buyers were very fickle. They'd buy you weaners when the market was good, and then you get stuck with them when the market, pig market, had a downturn. But eventually I had too many pigs on the small bit of land and I bought this place. And the last job I had on up in the North Island was a large industrial pig farm, and having worked there, I decided this style of pig farming really wasn't my cup of tea with all the stuff they do on these indoor pig farms. And I decided if I was to keep my own pigs, there'd be more of an opportunity in the South Island to keep them outdoors because of the climate down here, which is mostly dry, you need dry ground, availability of straw, cheaper food, proximity to the abattoir, and, yeah, free-draining soil.
There can be quite a difference between how pigs are treated from one farm to another, I've noticed. Yes. Is that a real issue for you as farmers?
Well, it gives us something to compare ourselves with other people.
Yeah.
We look at what we do, and it's easier to define ourselves by what we don't do. Like, we don't stick needles in our pigs. We don't use antibiotics. We don't put them in cages where they can't turn round.
We don't cut their tails off. We don't cut their teeth. We don't bring them.
So your pigs have a good life in the outdoors?
Well, we...
we try, don't
we? We try.
Linda, where does the Havoc name come from?
Well, Ian always said that I caused havoc in his life when I met him. So, he was quite happy with his few sows here, bucketing the water every day. And when I first met him, and all I could say was, the more I learned about the pig industry, the more I was like, people need to know. People need to know where their pork's coming from. And why is so much of it imported? That was the big wake-up call for me. I remember when I first met Ian, 30 to 40% of the pork we consumed in New Zealand was imported. And I thought it was absolutely horrific. It's 60% now.
Is that because New Zealand producers can't produce enough pork?
They could produce enough pork if they were paid properly for it, but they're constantly being undercut by cheap imports. And so several years ago, there's how many pig farmers?
When I first met Ian, there were 600 pig farmers in New Zealand. We're down to under 100 now.
We are going to have a look at the farm and meet some of your pigs soon. But, Linda, you're not going to come out because you don't have the energy to walk over the farm.
No, not anymore, I don't. I can watch what goes on and I see what those girls over there get up to and have to ring Ian up on the RT and say to him, you've got a pig that's on her way here, or you've got a pig that's just gone and broken the fence, or she's on the way to wreck your water supply. We're just actually, you're only about a few days too late. I had a pig in a hut in the front garden. She just decided to wander around the other night, a horrible night, and she's wandering all around the front. She's up on the back deck. She's all over the place, underneath the blooming tank stand. And I said to Ian, I think she's looking for somewhere to have her babies. And he said, oh, she could be.
I put her back in the paddock, but then the next morning she'd farrowed down the bottom of the garden.
So, Ian, this is your slice of paradise.
Sometimes. On a good day.
Yeah. Just across the track is your farmyard, and we can see your two grain silos there.
Yeah. Hold about 35 tonne each.
Like, how much would you spend on feed a year for the pigs?
Ask the accountant. We actually have a relatively low feed cost because of the cheese. And we feed cheese in excess of the pig's protein requirements, which means we don't have to have sort of complicated rations, and we don't need to put in synthetic amino acids and stuff like that.
Where does the cheese come from?
Comes from a major milk factory the other side of Timaru. Yes. And they make mozzarella cheese in 6 hours. But because it's a fast process, they have a lot of waste generated at the same time. So they use the acid casein powder, and if that doesn't mix in with the milk properly, it goes into big lugs, and then they have to dump the whole batch.
And so you get that?
We get that. And that's the mixer wagon.
Oh, there we are, yeah.
Put grain in that, put chips in that, and top it up with cheese, and it mixes it all together and run around the paddocks with it.
Yep. I bet the pigs are running after you.
They do.
So how often do you take pigs to the abattoir?
Twice a week.
And how many pigs would that be?
About 70 to 80 pigs a week. It's nice and close, and also using our own transport, that means they're less likely to get stressed on the way.
Where is the abattoir?
Timaru, which is about 35 minutes away, so it's not too far. Oh, the two of them come to see us. Big, big, big! Where the rest of them are.
Hello.
These were weaned on Friday. And, there they are. They're coming on heat today, and the AI arrived today. We get one dose of large white AI and the rest is Duroc. We use the large white as a dam line because they have bigger litters, and the Duroc, which the rest of them get, is we use the Duroc because it's better quality meat. There's more marbling in the meat and it's a darker meat, and makes the pigs so much more delicious when you eat them.
Now, the sows have been relaxing under some trees on the edge of the paddock, and a couple of huge ones are wandering towards us. They're big girls, aren't they?
Yeah, well, mature sows have tended to get larger over the years because of selective breeding. When pigs are bred to be lean, you tend to end up with a later maturing pig, which grows into a bigger sow.
How old are these sows here?
From about 1 year to 3 years. Mm. Later today, I'll run them through under the trees, where the boar is, and if they smell the boar, he uses his best chat-up line. And if they're on heat, they'll stand rigid, and I can sort of inseminate them. We'll go around this way.
You must get to know these girls and boys.
You do, but I don't name the sows. But all the boars, they get names.
Yes, and there's a link between the beetles and your boars.
Well, we had a George named after Prince George, future king. And then we had a John named after somebody who's working here. So we thought if we had a George and a John, we'd have to have a Ringo and a Paul. And so for George and John, they've gone to the big acorn forest in the sky, but we still have Ringo and Paul.
We've come to the back of a micro barn where you've got, what, four sows?
At night, there fit about 25 to 30 pigs in there. They all come into the hut to sleep at night.
And it's like an open aeroplane hangar, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
One of them's looking up, wondering what that noise is. All the seagulls here.
Yeah, the seagulls, they're attracted by the cheese. You know, we feed the pigs a lot of cheese and the seagulls like the cheese.
They love the cheese.
They love the cheese. The pigs love it as well. And this is the farrowing paddock. We keep them on this side during the winter because it's stonier ground, freer draining. And then that side, the other side there, we move them over there for the summer months.
And the farrowing paddock that we're looking at has lots of trees around it too, which I guess gives them good protection from the wind.
Trees are planted to protect them from the southerly and the northwester. The average northwester, it's okay, but we do have the occasional one where you actually see huts flying across the paddock, and then you have to pick them all up and repair them and stuff like that.
We're walking up towards a sow who has a litter of, what, about 13 or 14?
They're not all hers.
Hello. Oh, they are happy little fellas, aren't they?
Yeah. After a few days, the piglets start to sort of wander and start visiting other sows' huts, and then they form big bands. They roam around, and they all know the sound of their own mother and the smell of their own mother, so they all come back to their mother for feed when the mother calls them.
Some of them have black spots with a yellowy back, others are a dark orange colour.
Yeah, the colour comes from the Duroc breed, which is a mongrel breed in itself, originating in America from different sort of coloured breeds, and so you get all sorts of colours on them. Some have saddles and mostly they're red, but you do get the occasional black one.
They know you well, don't they? They just wander around and give you a wee sniff.
Yeah, but it's different when it comes time to be fed, though. It's a bit noisier when they get fed.
How often do you feed them?
I feed these sows and litters twice a day. I try to start them off on a little bit when they've just farrowed, and build them up slowly, up to about 3 weeks. After the piglets, about 3 weeks of age, that's when they get maximum ration. As much as they can eat, basically. But if we leave too much on the ground, then the seagulls come and eat it.
Looking into the pig house we're standing beside, and the piglets are suckling quite happily on mum. Nice and cosy in there.
Yeah. Yeah, the straw, it insulates them from the ground, and the pigs tend to spread it out themselves. And the hut, I used to build the hut smaller, thinking it would keep the piglets warm, but the piglets keep warm by snuggling up to the mother's udder. Mm. And also, once they start to drink, they produce their own heat by digesting the milk. And sleeping in a huddle.
One of the sows has a bit of straw stuck to her udders, and I guess that's because the colostrum is quite sticky.
Yeah, the milk tends to be sticky.
Do you ever find it hard putting the pigs onto the truck?
I feel sad sometimes because you do get to know them, but then if we didn't sacrifice some, then we wouldn't be able to pay for the feed for the rest of them.
How long do they stay here before they go to the works? What's the kind of standard age?
4 to 5 months of age they go to the works. A bit like, you know, they start off cute, like cute little babies, and when it's time to go, they're like awkward teenagers.
And what sort of weight are they normally?
A kilo is about 60-65 kg.
What happens to the parts of the body that are not turned into haddock pork?
We do have a few people buy trotters, and we do sell ribs. Simon Golds, I don't know if he still does, but he was selling our pigtails. He had his pigtails on his menu up in Auckland.
Can you tell the difference between your pork and another local producer's pork?
I wouldn't know, because I don't eat anybody else's pork but ours.
Another sow is walking over to us just to find out what's happening.
They can be very curious.
Is it okay to give them a scratch?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Do you like that? Have you ever been bitten by a pig?
I have. It does hurt. I blame myself. I just wasn't moving fast enough.
What happened?
Yeah, well, you know, before we got the mixer wagon to feed them, we used to feed them out of buckets, and if you don't move fast enough with a bucket, the pig comes up behind you and bites you.
Give me my food now. Get out of the way.
That's right. That's right. Because that's what they tend to do to each other if they at feeding time. Bully pigs will push smaller pigs out of the way, so we try to make sure it's well spread out so the smallest pig can get a fair share.
They love putting their snouts into the ground, don't they?
Yeah, they go for the roots and the grubs and the worms, which is basically their natural food. But they do destroy the pasture, as you can see there. They just turn ground into mud, especially in the winter time. And so once they've occupied an area of ground, we let it lie fallow for a while and the weeds and the grass reappear. Saves having to re-sow it, which it probably improves our carbon footprint as well if we don't actually re-sow. So you can see a mixture of grass and weeds here. We get a lot of stinking mayweed, hedge mustard, wireweed, and quite often the pig will actually gather up mouthfuls of the mayweed and carry it back into the hut to add more bedding for the hut. When a pig goes through the nesting process, it actually helps relax her. And we never ever have to it's very rarely we have to interfere and physically pull piglets out.
Now, your pigs are quite busy, aren't they? It looks like they're always doing something.
Yeah, well, pigs are intelligent animals. They're always inquisitive, trying to do something all the time. So if you put them in a pen with no stimulus and there's nothing for them to do, they start chewing on each other's tails. As you notice here, we don't dock our pigs' tails, which is evidence they have a relatively stress-free lifestyle. And some pigs I see at the abattoir have got the whole tail taken off, and those pigs have actually got marks on their sides where they've been gnawing at each other's sides because they can't. They want something to chew on all the time.
Because they're stuck in those pens, which have rubber or concrete floors, I guess.
Yeah, concrete and steel floors, and that's it. They've nothing to do except eat and drink, and they get so bored.
Why do you love pigs? What is it about pigs that tick your boxes?
Because they're intelligent and amusing and always a challenge.
Mm. I'm guessing it's a 7-day-a-week job.
Sure is, yeah.
Do you have staff who help out too, or do you do it all on your own?
No, we've got two and two half, but we are getting another one starting on Friday, so hopefully that'll take a bit of pressure off me.
Ian Jackson ending that story. Cosmo was also talking to Havoc Farm Porks, Linda McCullum-Jackson, at their free-range pig farm near Waimate.